Again, appreciate all that's come out this evening and invite you to take your Bibles. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Isaiah 38. So if you'd like to turn there and put a bookmarker there, we will be spending a good deal of time there. Many people are familiar with Hezekiah's prayer. Actually, there's two prayers of Hezekiah recorded in the Bible. Most people are familiar with the prayer that he asked God for help as the Assyrian army is invading and about to overtake Jerusalem. But I like to look at a different prayer that Hezekiah had given. This is a prayer of thanksgiving that he gives after he was healed of an illness. In Isaiah chapter 38, and in verse 9, it says, "A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said in the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. I am to be deprived of the rest of my years." Hezekiah was told that he would die. In fact, it's mentioned here back in verse chapter 38, verse 1. "In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'" What we often don't understand or don't think about is Hezekiah, as he mentions, is in the middle of his life. He's only 39 years old when this happens. Take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, just for a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and in verse 1, it says, "Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Later, we're told he was added 15 years of life. He'd subtract 15 from 29, that's 14. At 14 to 25, this happened when he was 39 years old. That's not that old. Most of us would figure we were in the prime of life still then. Now, yes, when you're 18, maybe 39 sounds ancient, but it's still the middle of life. Going on in verse 38 and verse 11, it says, "I said, I will not see the Lord in the land of the living. I will look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world." There were things that Hezekiah wanted to do. There were things that he wanted to see. But the problem is when you die, well, you don't come back to this world. Job mentions this in Job 14. Job 14, and starting with verse 7. "For there is hope for a tree when it's cut down, that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground, and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water, it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea, as a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise until the heavens are no longer. He will not awake or be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I wait until my change comes." Job's not saying that we stay dead. He calls it being asleep. He does talk about coming back to life, but it's not to this world. He understands when we die, we wait until the judgment day, until this world ends. Then we have life again. But while we're dead, our involvement in this world ends. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 is, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love and their hate and their zeal have already perished, and they no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun." Once you're dead, your involvement in this world is over with. Yes, I know there are religions that teach that you can pray to those who passed on and somehow they were supposed to act on your behalf. But Solomon says no. There's no more any interaction with this world. The interaction you had was while you were in this world. And there are also those who basically teach that, you know, there's a reincarnation, that you come back if you did good or bad. And the answer again is no. Our life here is when we get involved with people and do things as it is. And basically, to Hezekiah, to know that he would no longer be involved was a bitter disappointment to him. He wanted to continue to serve God. And he wanted to do that while he was here on earth. There were things he wanted to do. And so in verse 12, he says, "Like a shepherd's tent, my dwelling is pulled up and removed from me. As a weaver, I rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day until night, you make an end of me." His life, he's basically saying, is at an end. Easily and quickly removed, like a tent. Or like a weaver who cuts off the cloth, this finished cloth, from the loom. He's worked on it, but it comes to a point where it's over with. And in verse 13, he says, "I composed my soul until morning. Like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me." What he's talking about is, think about it. You're told that you're going to die. What's your night going to be like? He waited that night for his death, alone with his thoughts, while others slept. And he felt like he was being crushed by God. And in verse 14, he says, "Like a swallow, like a crane, so I twitter. I moan like a dove. My eyes look wistfully to the heights. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security." He pleads to God, but it felt like empty chatter, like birds, or like the morning of groans of a dove. He looked for help until basically he could look no longer. There's another verse very similar to that in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 17. "Yet our eyelids failed. Looking for help was useless. In our watching we have watched for a nation that could not save." Hezekiah was much like that. Looking and looking. And giving up, basically. Almost. But God heard Hezekiah's prayer. God spoke. And you know, Hezekiah, we get the impression, wanted to complain. Like Job. In Job chapter 7, when things went bad for Job, and Job thought, well, it's somebody's mistake, I just need to plead it with God. In Job 7 and verse 11, it says, "Therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." And also in Job chapter 10 and in verse 1, "I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." But you know what? What God says is what God does. We talked about this morning. God said, prepare, you're going to die. And Hezekiah knew that. And in verse 15, it says, what shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I will wander about all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. When Hezekiah finally realized the finality of it, this is what God said. It was then that God spoke again and gave him 15 years more of life. Going back to Isaiah chapter 38, verse 5, it says, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you in this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And just like before, Hezekiah knew the finality of it. God does as he says. He says, you have 15 years of life. Now, most of us do not have any clue as to when our life is going to come to an end. Hezekiah was told exactly, here's how much more time you have. But God said it, so therefore it's going to happen. In Numbers chapter 23, Numbers 23, and in verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Also in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to start reading at verse 24. 'Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass.' God does what he says. Hezekiah was going to live his remaining years. But knowing that he had 15 years, he was basically saying, I'm going to be more careful about it. He still is not going to have a long life. He's going to die at 54. But he will not forget that bitter night when he thought that his life would end. In other words, Hezekiah is saying, I'm changed. This night has impacted me. This night has changed me. And so in verse 16, it says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and let me live. It's by God's promises is what he's referring to. Men live. But God will use hard lessons at times, teach important lessons. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and in verse 3, he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Why did Israel go through hardships? There were lessons to be learned. In Psalms chapter 71, Psalm 71 and in verse 20, it says, you have shown me many troubles and distresses, and will revive me again, and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. A lot of times when trouble comes on us, we look at ourselves and we say, why me? Or we look at God and say, what are you doing to me? But God is the source of life. And God is the one who teaches us. And sometimes we need hard lessons. In Psalms 104, starting with verse 27. Psalms 104 and verse 27. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them and they gather it up. You open your hand and they are satisfied with good. You hide your face and they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit and they are created and renew the face of the ground. God is our source of life. Everything that we have and know and do, it depends on God. And those hardships that we face, while we're in the middle of it, it feels like something no one else can handle. Those hardships are nothing compared to what God is offering us as a benefit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Why do we go through all these hardships? Because it's going to get us to heaven. And no matter how hard it might seem, Paul points out they're just momentary light afflictions. I remember years and years ago, and I had to face a false teacher in some really hard, difficult times. And there was another gentleman that was with us. And all the time we were doing it, it was like, oh, well, at least it can't get any worse than this. And then something would come up, and it got worse. At least it can't get any worse than this. That went on for about a couple months. Something else came up, and he says, I'm not saying that. It can get worse. All the trouble that we look at, yes, it could be worse. But even the worst that we face is nothing compared to the weight of glory that God has waiting for us. In Isaiah 38, again, this time in verse 17. Lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness. It is you who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. See, Hezekiah understood. All that trouble he went through, that was to rescue him, to keep him from ending up in hell. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Talking about fathers, it says, for they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And take a look at Job 33. Job 33, and we're going to start at verse 19. So man also is chastened with pain on his bed, and with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathes bread, and his soul favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones which were not seen stick out. Then his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to those who bring death. If there is an angel as mediator for him, one out of a thousand, to remind a man what is right for him, then let him be gracious to him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Let his flesh become fresher than in youth. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigor. Then he will pray to God, and he will accept him, that he may see his face with joy, that he may restore his righteousness to man. He will sing to men and say, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and is not proper for me. He has redeemed my soul from going to the pit, and my life shall see the light. That's what Hezekiah realized happened to him. He was going down the wrong track. We don't know exactly what was going on. But God turned him around. And he was saved. Not just from a physical death, but also from a spiritual death. Because he talks about God's forgiveness. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God, when he forgives us, totally forgives. In fact, Micah tells us in Micah chapter 7, Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God wants to forgive. That's what we need to remember. He's not, again, a God who's just waiting for someone to trip up. He wants to forgive us. He delights in being able to do so. And how does a person know? How do you know that God really forgave you? Well, it goes back to what Hezekiah said. God says, and it's done. Take a look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103, and starting with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and the judgments for all who are oppressed. God says, and it's done. God says he will forgive. We need to trust that he does what he says. And so now Hezekiah in his life can praise God. In Isaiah 38 verse 18, it says, for Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down into the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. If he was dead, this would be not something he would be able to do. But in life he can. Bring praise to God. In Psalm 6. Psalms chapter 6 and verse 5. For there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? And in Psalms 30. And in verse 9. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? And also in Psalms 115. Psalms 115 and starting with verse 17. To you I shall offer... Oops, sorry. Verse 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. When's the time to serve God? It's now, while you're alive. You can't make up for it after you're dead. And in life, there is also hope. in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4. It says, "For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion." So many people think that death is somehow a solution. It's not. It is in life that there is hope. Things can get better. In Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 14. "But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." Or as Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 24. "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." Yes, there are times when things look dark. But that's what hope's for. Not because I already have it, but this is what I look forward to in the future. And so Hezekiah can offer praise. In 38 verse 19, Isaiah 38 verse 19, it says, "It is the living who gives thanks to you, as I do today. A father tells his son about your faithfulness. The Lord will surely save me. And so we will play up my songs on stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Hezekiah can offer praise. He is alive. He has time. In Psalms 146. Psalms 146. And in verse 2. "I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." And also in Psalms 145 and verse 2. "Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever." And while there's life, also others can be told about the life that God holds for us. Back in Deuteronomy, the Israelites were told to teach what they knew to their children. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. "Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, so that you will not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they will not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons." It's repeated again in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and in verse 3. "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works which he has done." God has done mighty things in our lives. God has saved us from the wreckage of sin. Let's tell God and tell others our praises for him and all that he has done for us. See, because of sin, many live in bitterness. They never get what they want. Over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and starting with verse 14. "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification..." "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up causing trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it for it with many tears. We can become so bitter that we won't change. Life is about living for God. But these people die a spiritual death, and they blame God for their pain. But it's God alone who offers life. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 13. 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things I've written to you so you believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and in verse 12. Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are we thankful for the life that we have? Because we are still alive. We still have hope. There's still things to do. There's people to teach. Do we remember, though, also where we came from? In 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Hezekiah Knight, knowing that he was going to die, changed him. And he said, I'm going to remember this day for the rest of my life. Remember where you came from. And remember where you're going. And remember to pray and praise God for all the blessings that he has given us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf and like to become a child of God and be able to be baptized and be raised up in new life, there's time now. For those who are children of God would like the prayers again of the congregation on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.